Praise God. Pastor had invited me to share this evening, and so I'm going to do a message that I'm going to do a three-part message. I'll probably do maybe one and a half this morning or two this morning and one this evening, but God has a purpose and a place for all of us. Can you say amen to that? And so we'll start in the book of Acts chapter 19. Praise God. I can remember the first mission trip we launched out into. You know, I just want to do something crazy for God because I'm a crazy kind of guy. And so, anyway, we went to the nation of England. And from there, we went to Egypt. And I really had no idea what I was doing. And we ended up bribing some Muslims and to allow us to use a big auditorium in the city of Assuet, Egypt, which is on the other side of the Sahara. And so we flew into Cairo. We're driving across the Sahara Desert and ran out of gas. And I thought, well, maybe I'm not called to missions. But we went on to, thank God somebody came by and told us where we needed to go and did a crusade, and just amazing miracles began to happen. And I found as I began to launch out in God and just trust in Him that, praise God, we begin to see the miraculous begin to happen, and God begin to move in our lives. And it's the same thing in your life. God wants to do something great. God wants you to impact your Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world in a great way. And so, you know, if you have a vision and you can do it in your own effort, God's not in it. God is beyond that. And so, if we're going to do something, you know, whatever your vision is, whatever you have in your heart to do, it should be beyond your own capabilities. Because that's where God lies. God lies in the impossible. God is a God of the miraculous. And so, praise God. I just want to encourage you and stir you up this morning to do something, to believe God, do something great for God. Amen? In Acts chapter 19, we see something here. It says this. It says, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them. And evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord, saying, We adjure you by Jesus who Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, a chief of the priests, which did so. And evil spirits answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you?" I think that's funny. "Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded." How many of you know it's important to know Jesus? Amen. "And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified." You know, like I said, the Bible says here that the evil spirits said, "Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you?" And so I entitled this three-part message, "Does Hell Know Your Name?" Does hell know your name? My friend, I want to be popular in hell. How about you? I want to be a person that the enemy, that the devil would tremble about. Praise God. Do something great for God. You know, if we're going to be popular in hell, the first thing we must do, we must know Him intimately. You have to have a personal relationship with Christ. You know, I can remember and look back that, you know, my first 20 years of life that I knew God. I absolutely knew Him. A lot of times Jesus would cast out the devil and He'd say, you know, "O Son of God, what do you want with us?" So they knew He was the Son of God, but they didn't have a personal, intimate relationship with Him. And so I guess my first charge to you is, do you know Jesus personally? Is Jesus Lord of your life? If He's not, then He should be. Praise God. God has a purpose. God has a destiny for your life. God wants to do great things through your life. But it's important that we have an intimate and personal relationship with Him. I can remember when I got born again, I was so thankful I wasn't on the road to hell, that I wouldn't spend one moment in hell. That when I got born again, I said, "Jesus, I give you my entire life, every fiber of my being. Let it glorify you and magnify you. I lay at your feet my entire being. I have no idea what I'm doing, but whatever I am, it's yours. Take it." And maybe some of you have had a similar situation, a similar encounter with Christ, that you laid every part of your being, every fiber of your soul at His feet. My friend, it's a beautiful place to be. Amen? It's to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Praise God. And so if Jesus isn't your Lord, I encourage you today to make Him Lord of your life. Amen. I want to talk to you second of all, which I wanted to get to this. In Matthew chapter 11, and we're just going to spend a few minutes here, but I want to encourage you this morning, dare to believe God. And today as we look at these missionaries, I guess I give my charge to you as a church, dare to believe God. Dare to do something to impact nations for Christ. Have a bigger vision. Have a bigger purpose in Christ. Praise God. I want to live on the edge for the Lord. I read the story of Peter. Man, I can relate. You know, this is the kind of guy, you know, I mean, he goes out, you know, does great things for God. Well, before I get into that, let's go ahead and read the scripture. In Matthew chapter 14, we see something here. The Bible says this, that Jesus is up on the mountain. It's the fourth watch of the night. And the Bible says that he comes down at the fourth watch of the night and begins to walk out across the water. And one of the disciples looks up and sees what they think is a ghost. And these are professional fishermen, and they look out and they see what they think is a ghost walking toward them, and the Bible says they became very afraid. And Jesus says, listen, he said, it's just me. Don't be afraid. And Peter has this ingenious idea. He said, Master, if it is you, tell me to come. And without thinking about it, the Bible says Peter jumps out the side of the boat, and where the disciples expected to hear a splash, instead they heard a thud. And Peter walked on solid water. He was experiencing a miracle. You know, and a lot of times we beat up Peter because of the story. We say, oh, you know, Jesus said, where was your faith? Why did you sink? But listen, he walked on water. He experienced a miracle. Amen? You know, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful testimony to see that Peter experienced, walking on water, experiencing the impossible. You know, but the tragedy of the story is this. Out of 12, only one jumped. What were the other 11 doing? And so, unfortunately, that's where most Christians are at today, is I believe that all 12 could have jumped and experienced the impossible. Somebody said, well, how do you know? Well, how many of you remember when Jesus was at Lazarus' tomb? When Jesus was at Lazarus' tomb, what did he do? He came before his tomb and he called him by name. He said, Lazarus, Lazarus only, called him by name. Lazarus, come forth. And he called him out of the grave. He called him by name. But my question is, what would have happened if he would have just simply said, come forth? I believe he'd have cleared out the whole graveyard, but he called him by name, didn't he? Lazarus, Lazarus only, come forth. But back here at the boat, what did he say? Did he say, Peter, come? Or did he say, what did he say? He said, come. And out of 12 apostles, one decided to jump. One decided to dare to believe God. My friend, my question for us today as an individual, what kind of disciple are we? Are we one to dare to believe God, to walk on the impossible, or are we one to sit in a boat scratching our head? And so I want to be one to be walking on the water, experiencing the miracle, and experiencing, you know, the impossible with God. How about you? Amen. Praise God. Let's go over to 1 John. 1 John. Praise God. God is a God of the impossible. Wants to do great things through our lives if we can dare to believe Him. Dare to walk on the impossible. Dare to have a greater vision. Dare to have a greater purpose. I can remember when after I got born again, I went to the University of Edinburgh up near Lake Erie. I think I might have shared this last time. I was out on a lake praying and seeking God and just pouring my heart out to Him. And just after a couple hours, just worshiping and magnifying God, I just felt in my heart the Lord asked me, He said, son, He said, you ask me for anything, I'll give it to you. I just sensed He was so pleased with my heart. I said, Daddy, I said, my heart's vision, I want to see 1 million souls saved in my lifetime. And I just sensed He was pleased with that. And I just felt a confirmation, and we do that and a whole lot more. And as a ministry, we just celebrated seeing our 25,000 person come to Christ. And so we're making our way toward that. Amen. But the vision had to be there first. And so my question for you is, what is our vision? Are we one to think beyond the box and think about the impossible and find a way, amen, to experience the impossible, or one to sit in the boat? I want to be one to experience the impossible. Over here, I told you the wrong scripture. That's all right. I'll probably do that again. But I want to share just a little bit about the Mount of Transfiguration. How many remember this? Jesus was up on the mountain. The Bible says, goes up on the mountain and was worshiping God. And suddenly, Moses and Elijah appear. Now, he's up there with Peter, James, and John. And suddenly, Moses and Elijah appear. And they hear a voice. This is my son, with whom I'm well pleased. And so they look at Jesus. His face was transfigured. They, you know, they see the prophets of old. They hear the voice of God. How many of you know church doesn't get any better than that? When the prophets of old are showing up, you're having church. How many of you agree? I mean, that's as good as it gets. And so the prophets of old are there. The voice of God is there. Jesus' appearance changes. And suddenly, boom, it all, you know, the voice fades. Prophets of old fade away. And suddenly, here's these apostles with Jesus. And the first thing they think of, the apostles, they said, Master, let's put up some shelters. And we'll celebrate, you know, what's happened today. Let's put up some shelters. Let's stay here. Let's do it again. You know, we'll see who shows up next time. But I want you to notice Jesus' response was this. Jesus responded. He said, listen, you know, this is for a season. There's sheep at the bottom. There's people at the bottom of the mountain that need ministry. And the first thing Jesus thought of was people at the bottom of the mountain, while the apostles, disciples, thought about the top of the mountain. My friend, we need to have top of the mountain experiences, but be bottom of the mountain minded. Amen? And so, we continually have to have before our minds the bottom of the mountain, that we are a vessel and a voice for Christ. We're a vessel unto the nations. And we're a vessel not only to our own nation, but to the nations of the world. We come in here, maybe get filled up, get built up, but we're here to be prepared as a vessel of light and a voice unto the nations. Amen. And so if we're going to walk on the water, like I said, number one, we need to dare to believe God. But number two, we need to be heavenly minded. We need to be soul minded. And which allows God, gives God an avenue to work through us. Gives God an avenue to work through our lives. I can remember, you know, when I first got saved, and I graduated from the University of Edinburgh up near Lake Erie. Got a degree in business, and I really went to college for baseball, and I just happened to get a degree along the way. And so they made me study so I could play baseball, and a degree was just sort of a side effect. And so anyway, I got my degree, and when I graduated, I said, I'm never going back to college. I hated it, and I was just burnt out. And, just begin to earnestly seek God. God, what would you have me to do with my life? I'm so thankful, you know, that you saved me, but what do you want me to do? And, as I submitted to Him, you know, I shared this experience I was having in Edinburgh where I just gave Him every fiber of my being. Not long after, just had a impression that God was calling me to Bible school. God wanted me to do something beyond what I wanted to do, beyond my comfort zone, beyond what, you know, anything I thought about. You ever been there? God wants you to do something and it just seems beyond. And I just finished 5 years of college. Transferred. It took me 3 colleges and 5 years to do it, but I finally pulled it off. And I said, I got no desire to go back. And I just felt God just stretching me and just telling me, son, you know, if we're going to do something great, then you have to trust me and you have to be able to be willing to stretch a little bit. And so I had just graduated from Bible school and I was working up in at the Ross Park Mall near Pittsburgh. I live about an hour from Pittsburgh, out in the country, but. Anyway, I had a job up there, and after about four months or five months or so of working up there, I realized I was basically burning in gas what I was making. I was working, I got a job as assistant manager at the Athlete's Foot, and I was making about $6.20 an hour. And so I'm burning in gas what I'm making. Now, this is with a college degree that, you know, the economy was down real low in 1992, and so in the Pittsburgh area. And so, you know, 40% of Pittsburgh left when the steel mills went down. And so, you know, all the good jobs were taken. So I had this job and working up there at the Athlete's Foot and felt God was stretching me and just calling me beyond and calling me to Bible school. And so I said, man, you know, you want me to go to Bible school because I give you my heart. I'm willing to do it. And so I sat down and figured out what I needed. And to get into Bible school, I realized I needed about $2,000. And so I had $400 in the bank, and so I needed about $1,600. I needed $1,600. Suits, I had no suits at all. I needed a job, and I needed a car to get into Bible school. And God just felt God was stretching me. Well, this is long about March, or April comes, May comes, and I sit down and look at my account, and I've made no progress at all. I still need $1,600, suits, job, and a car. And I finally said, you know what? I'm getting nowhere with this job. You know, I'm going to quit, which I did. I quit my job, and I started to volunteer for a youth home. So I'm still working, and, you know, I'm just not making anything. And so, anyway, I got to leave here at the end of August. Well, this is May. Well, anyway, June comes. July comes, the 1st of July. I got 2 months, and I realize, you know, I'm looking at my stuff, and I'm making no progress at all. I still need $1,600, suits, job, and a car. And so I saw this preacher do this one time, and I thought I would do it. Now, I want to apologize before I do this. And so, but anyway, I'll just tell you what I did. Anyway, I saw this preacher do this, and he said, what you need to do, he says, what you need to do is pick out a scripture, and the Bible says, you know, that my God will meet all my needs according to the glorious riches in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. And so I picked out this scripture, Philippians 4:19. He said, then what you do is you take your Bible on the floor, put your Bible on the floor. And so I did this. I took the Bible and laid it on the floor. And he said, and then what you do is you stand on it. So I did this. I stood on the Bible. And he said, then you pray like this. Father in heaven, I want to let you know for all of heaven, all of earth, everything beneath earth, that I'm standing on your word. And according to Philippians 4:19, I'm standing on your word that you're meeting all of my needs according to glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Because I've put you first. And I've dared to believe you. I've dared to live on the edge to put souls first. It wasn't my heart's desire, but this is your desire. So I've dared to put you first. Amen. And so I would do that. I would get off the Bible. And so each morning I'd get in and I'd stand on the Bible. Amen. And so anyway, this is the beginning of, I think June maybe. June or late June, or early July. And so, you know, the Bible says the enemy comes immediately to steal that which is planted. And so every day I'd come and, you know, the enemy would attack me. You're not going to make it. How are you going to get $1,600, suits, job, and a car? And I'd say, well, I said, listen, the Bible says God has promised that he'd meet all my needs according to the glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And so I'm standing on his word. I count it done. I don't care what you say, devil. I believe God. And I am living on the edge. My entire life is in God's hands. And I dare to believe God. I dare to believe God for the impossible. Do something great for him. And this is where it starts. Amen? And so I would do that. Well, anyway, I'm doing this every day. June comes, July comes, August comes. I got 2 weeks to go. And so I got 2 weeks to go before I'm leaving, and I'm daring to do something impossible for God, to believe God. And so anyway, I get a phone call from my dad, and my dad is from the southern part of Missouri. It's a place, I thought, I shared this last time. But in Missouri, he's from a place where it's sort of like the men are men and the women are too. And so... It's a rough bunch where he's from. And so he calls me on the phone. He said, boy, he said, you still thinking about going to Bible school? I said, yeah, I'm trying to do something great for God here, impossible, daring to believe him. And he said, well, what do you need? I said, man, this is trouble. I said, well, I need $1,600, suits, job, and a car. I'll never forget what he said. He said, boy, you idiot, stay home. I said, nope. I said, I'm going to go. God's calling me to go. We're going to go. And so I get up on the word. I said, Father, I thank you that your faith will meet all of my needs. I'm daring to do something great, live on the impossible for you. And Father, I thank you that you meet my needs. I'm endeavoring to go with the Holy Ghost. Now, God spoke to me, but I wanted to do something great for him, and I believe this is where he's leading me. And so anyway, I would do this, like I said, daily. I got 2 weeks to go. I'm daring to believe God. The devil wants me to quit. My flesh is tired. My own family wants me to quit. And finally, I get a phone call, 2 weeks to go. And it's a guy from Aliquippa, Pennsylvania. He said, Will, he said, I understand you're wanting to go to Bible school. I said, yeah. And he said, man, I just felt impressed to do this. Don't know why. He said, I just grew out of a bunch of suits. He said, would you be interested in them? I said, let me think about it. Yes. So I drove on over to Aliquippa, and I picked up these suits, and I came home. And, I mean, they fit me. I didn't have to tailor them. They fit me perfectly. I mean, the sleeves fit, and I'm kind of strange. I'm, like, shorter in one part, longer in the other. And I mean, they fit me perfectly. Amen. So I got up on the Word and I said, Father, I thank you that as we dare to believe you and dare to believe God for the impossible, and you're faithful to meet all of our needs as long as we can believe. Amen. A couple days goes by, I get a phone call from Oklahoma, which is where I was going. And they said, the guy I was going to room with, he said, Will, I just felt impressed to call you. He said, man, is there anything you need when you get down here? And I said, it's funny you ask, because I need a job as soon as I get there. He said, well, I'm a manager with Federal Express. I'll get you a job as soon as the day you get here if you want it. Well, that was a better job than what I had. So I said, well, praise God, I'll take it. So a few more days goes by. I got a week to go. And, you know, I'm praying. I said, Father, I thank you for my suits and I thank you for my job. But, you know, Oklahoma's a long way and I'm not thumbing to Oklahoma. And I want to remind you, in Philippians 4:19, you said you meet all my needs. I'm daring to believe you. I'm daring to live on the impossible, on the edge of the impossible, to do something great for you. You called me to do this, because, and I'm being obedient. I'm daring to believe you. And you said you meet all my needs. I want to remind you, I need $1,600 and a car, and I got a week and a half to go. And but I thank you that you're faithful. Well, that weekend comes, and I happen to be in my home church, and my pastor just felt led by the Holy Ghost to take up an offering. Guess how much come in? It was like $1,611 and some odd cents. I had enough to get a Big Mac and a Happy Meal on the way. Yeah, that's right. God's more than enough. And so I got up on the Bible and said, Father, I thank you. I'm daring to believe God to do something great for you. Your Holy Spirit led me in this direction. And I don't know what you have in mind beyond that, but I know you've called me to do this. And Father, I thank you for it. I believe you meet all my needs according to glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Amen. And I mean, immediately the enemy wanted me to give up. My flesh wanted me to give up. But I dare to believe God. God is a God of the impossible. He wants to do great things for our lives. A couple days goes by, it's Wednesday, I got to leave Saturday. I get a phone call, and a girl calls me from Calcutta, Ohio, and she says, you know what? She said, you're getting ready to leave for Oklahoma, aren't you? I said, yeah. I said, I'm getting ready to go to Bible school. She said, I just felt impressed to do this, don't know why. She said, you know, we're a two-person family, and we got three vehicles. She said, would you be interested in one? I said, let me think about it. Yes. And so I drove on over to Calcutta, Ohio, and I banged on the door. I went over to the house, and they opened the door, and they had this big dog named Bear, big German Shepherd named Bear. He comes running out the door, and that has nothing to do with the story, but that's the way it happened. And so they come out, and they hand me a set of keys, and they're gold keys. Now, where I come from, F-150 keys aren't gold. You know, I mean, that's what we drive. And so I'm looking at these keys, and they're gold keys. I said, man, I've never seen gold keys. And here I walk around the side of the house, and there waiting on me is a Cadillac. And they bless us with a Cadillac. Hallelujah. And so I cruise on down to Oklahoma in my Cadillac with a seat back. Big Mac in one hand, Happy Meal in the other. Praise God. Amen. God's a faithful God. And if we can dare to believe Him and dare, you know, like I said, to think beyond the box, God will lead us. If I never went to Bible school, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. We wouldn't see these souls planted. But I dare to say, God, I'm a willing vessel. You want to stretch me? Stretch me. You want me to do something that I'm uncomfortable with, God? Show me what it is. And I'm willing to do it. And so, praise God. And God was able to use that. But you have to go to the Holy Ghost. I'm not telling you just to do whatever. You got to listen to the Holy Spirit, and he might stretch you. He might tell you to do something you know that you didn't think about doing. And so today is one of those days. As we come here, and we look at what you as a church are going to do at this upcoming year, you know, I want to encourage you to be led by the Holy Spirit. Just be led by Him. And God will make a way. Amen? And God will make a way. You know, as we've won souls, you know, throughout the world, we've done a lot of different things. I've built barns. I've flipped houses. I've umpired baseball games. I've done a lot of different things to help keep the thing going. But God will provide an opportunity for us to impact lands. You know, today, lives are hanging in the balance. And we have an opportunity as a church to impact these lives. Like you see in Cuba or some of these nations through these flags you saw. Today, people are on the road to hell. And they need people like us. And so I'm just challenging us to think beyond the box. I'm challenging us as a church. You know, I'm just challenging us. What vision do we have? Do we dare to believe God? Do we dare to believe God for the impossible, to do something beyond maybe what we've done? And souls can be saved, lives can be changed, nations can be touched. Amen? We can do great, great things for God as long as we put Him first and dare to believe Him. Praise God. Amen. This is what we're going to do is we're going to pray first and foremost. I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to pass out. Are we going to pass these out, Pastor, or how are we going to handle this? They're already in the seats. Okay. All right, this is what we're going to do. If you guys want to grab your card, now, as you approach these, like I said, it's God is our provider, and we just need to be led by Him. His heart is nation. His heart is souls. There's nothing more important and more dear to God. And God will bless you as we put God first. So we're not asking you to do anything beyond what God's asking you to do. Just go with the Holy Spirit. God will provide and God will bless you. Amen. And we'll be able to do great things for Him. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that You'd stir up my brothers and sisters. And Father, You'd speak to their heart, Father, and show them what You would have them to do regarding missions this upcoming year, Father. We just bind any spirit of fear in the name of Jesus, and we just declare, Father, that You're making it clear unto them how they can be a voice, how they can be a light to the nations of the world, Father. This church will continue to grow and be a blessing and impact the nations of the world and impact their Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost parts of the world. Father, when we got saved, we laid everything at Your feet. And so whatever we have is Yours. Father, we just need to hear Your voice. We'll be faithful and obedient to flow with that. Father, we thank You for it. We bless You for it. Thank You in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You for blessing them, for putting souls and putting missions first, for increasing our house. We declare our house is blessed, family is blessed, walk in health and victory. And Father, You're fulfilling a full number of days. Father, we declare their children serve You, their houses serve You, their houses are blessed and healthy because they serve You and honor You and put You and souls first. And Father, You're increasing them and increasing their effectiveness because they honor You and honor Your purpose of souls and missions and the nations first. Father, I thank You for hovering over their house, blessing them, giving them vision and dreams, and Father, helping them to do great things for You. Father, we bless them. We bless them. Declare You're increasing them, filling them with the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. All right, this is what we're going to do. I can't read that far. What? Haiti, okay. Tammy wants me to mention to you as well that we've been working with an orphanage in a nation of Haiti for about 8 years. There's a box on the table out here. If you want to sow into that, there's 40 kids that are now living on the street. The monsoon season is coming. We're going to see if we can get their orphanage rebuilt. If you guys are interested in sowing into that, there's a box on our table out here as well. Now, our primary work is still in Cuba. If you guys are interested in being on working with one of the Cuban pastors, it's about $40 a month, and you want some information on how you can be a part of the prayer team or whatever, we have a sign-up sheet on the table out here, and we'll keep you informed. You guys can pray for them or, you know, whatever you want to do there. And so there's two opportunities to reach out to the nation as well. But praise God. Do we need to, I think we need to have people go and get prayer cards. Do we want to do that at the end? You want to do it now? Anytime. Okay, let's do that at the end after we dismiss. On the way out, if you'll grab a prayer card from one of these nations, maybe that's on your heart, Latin America or, you know, Africa, chaplaincy, whatever, something that's dear to your heart, why don't you grab that, put it on your refrigerator, and just endeavor to pray over it and bless that each day if we can. Amen? All right, I believe we need to have the ushers come, is that right? And take up the prayer cards. This is the second time a pastor has ever trusted me to take up these missionary things. I want to thank you for your faith, brother. Probably be my last. But the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Has anybody not got their prayer card filled out? Anybody does not have it filled out as of yet? Lisa. Yeah. I think there's something there. You can give a one-time offering if you'd like, or like she said, Lisa said, if you want to give all year, is that right? Are both those on there? Okay, all right. So you'll have an opportunity to do how God leads you. Praise God. Amen. Let's go ahead and have our ushers come up. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll take these faith pledges. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just declare, Father, that you are watching over these, that you've laid this on our heart, on how we can reach into the nations of the world. And Father God, we just make this promise before you. And Father, we just thank you for leading us by the Holy Spirit. As far as our part in fulfilling this, we just declare that money is coming in from the north, south, east, and west, that you're blessing and increasing us. Father God, that we can be a blessing to you, and that we can fulfill this faith promise and reach out into the nations of the world. Father, we declare that each person that is making a promise today, Father, that you are blessing them, that provision is coming, that every need is met, and Father, that they would continue to grow and fulfill their promise before you. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and take up the pledges. Pastor, if they did not get their form filled out, is there a place they can drop those off on the way out, or do we have somewhere if they're not finished? Or
we can just set them on the missions table in the missions room at the rear of the sanctuary.
All right. Sounds good. Well, praise God. We just want to thank you guys for having us in today. Pastor, we'll give the service back to you here. Just once again, I want to thank you for sending us into the nations as one of your missionaries and giving us an opportunity to win souls and plant some churches for Christ. Amen? Amen. We pray for you guys all the time, and we appreciate your prayers as well.
I don't know if you remember the story of this guy that's on your faith pledge. He's a taxi driver. Prayed that the Lord would help him get a taxi, and he finally got a taxi, and he's got cassette tapes in various languages, and so when people get in his taxi, he finds out what language they speak, he pops in that cassette tape, it shares the gospel, and people are getting saved in his taxi cab because he's got a captive audience. It's a pretty marvelous story. Just wanted to share with you as well, we've been taking some offerings up for Haiti. The total of that is now up to $9,100 going to the Haiti Relief, so we thank you for giving that way. Amen. Praise the Lord. This really is a given church, and we appreciate you faithfully giving. And I believe the Lord blesses you because of your giving. It's just a biblical principle. Some of you haven't quite stepped into that yet, and you're still scrapping and scrounging and working really hard. I use a phrase frequently, and I say work smarter, not harder. And when you exercise kingdom principles, that's working smarter, not harder. You can work really hard and make money, or you can do what God asks you to do, and He'll make provision for you. And they're two totally different worlds. And that's what Will was sharing with us today, and appreciate the word we shared. Let's stand together. We just encourage you to, after we pray, to take a moment, mingle. Along the walls, there's various missionaries from different parts of the world. Find one of those that you're particularly passionate about. Maybe there's one there that you see. That's how much we support each of those individuals per month from this church. Maybe you'd like to say, I'd like to pay a portion of that, or I'd like to pay the whole thing. Whatever the Lord would lay on your heart or stir in your heart to do that, we'd appreciate it. I trust we'll see you here tonight. Again, Will be with us in sharing the message. be a blessing. Father, we thank you today for missions. We thank you for what we're able to do here at Christian Life and the many people that are being touched and transformed. And we'll talk today about the many souls that are being saved, 250,000 souls saved through his ministry. God, you've given us a portion of that inheritance because of our obedience and faithfulness in giving and helping to support. And Father, I pray that you would increase that, Lord, as the missionaries are around the globe impacting their cultures and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with those that we'll never get to see. I pray that you administer to and through them. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you here tonight.